good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday. Brother David Tucker and Brother Joe Barner in with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On Umbrella Day.
It's Umbrella Day.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I want to know who gets to make the names.
I don't know.
Who gets to make the selection?
I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, because you have some days that are multiple days, right? It's like it's chocolate day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's several
asparagus
things.
Day, all in the same day.
You know? Kind of reminds you of that episode of Andy Griffith with the two ladies that were making moonshine for celebratory purposes.
Now, look. And they had to have a holiday to sell it to them.
There you go. Now, look, you're both wearing flannel today, right?
This is true.
Okay, yeah. It's also flannel day.
Really?
Yes, it's National Flannel Day.
Well, I always, try to celebrate Flannel Day.
But see, I'm glad to see y'all are wearing flannel.
I'm just curious. There's got to be, you know what? I'll bet you there's an official Washington Department of naming holidays.
Probably.
And
it's probably be cut back before long.
It'll be cut back pretty soon.
Joe will get after it.
Now listen. And then most time in the mornings I get to smell oatmeal cooking. Uh-huh. It's also Oatmeal Monday.
Oatmeal Monday.
And I know Joe likes his oatmeal.
That'll be my breakfast in a little while after the front porch.
Well, that's awesome.
Boy, everything's going good today.
Is there a cream of wheat day? You need to find out.
I don't know yet.
It's not fair if there's oatmeal day but not cream of wheat day.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
It might be.
Well, listen, I'm excited. We're going to have some fun today.
We already are.
We already are. I was talking with Brian earlier about, the way we do the front porch and the fun that we have on it. And in truth, I always kind of forget the fact that other people are listening.
Well, I think that's supposed to be kind of the atmosphere. You're sitting on the front porch with a few close friends.
Absolutely. It's drinking coffee. You're on the waiting list at Cracker Barrel. That's what you're doing.
The folks listening on the radio are the neighbors that overhear.
That's right. But today what we're going to do is we're going to dig into something that I had a lot of fun doing last week. That is we're going to start our study in Genesis today. But we're really not going to get past Genesis 1:1 because there's a whole lot in that verse that we want to unpack. So we'll do that.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 63:7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Moments of silence are often awkward in a new relationship, but not when that relationship has matured over the years. I know when I first married, even though I knew my wife well, I felt like I needed to talk all the time. Now, it's not rare on long road trips to remain in absolute silence, and there's not a thing wrong. It's as if an inaudible communication is going on. Each feels good about the other being nearby. Each feels free to speak or not to speak. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we experience closeness, sometimes talking, sometimes surges of praises. We know He's always there in the conversation and in the silence. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water, it's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Monday morning, and such a beautiful morning it's going to be. It's going to be a little cool today, 47, but hey, it's going to be better than 28, so.
Well, this is true. It should be scarf day, not umbrella day.
That's scarf right. Day. Should be scarf day.
Or wear your hat for crying out loud day.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying. But anyway, we're going to be jumping into a little bit of a study on Genesis. Been a while, actually, since I've dug into Genesis. How long has it been since you've done Genesis in Sunday school there, Joe?
It's been a little while.
Been a while? It's one of the...
Yeah, maybe a year or something like that.
About a year? It's one of those just phenomenal books, and it's so chock full. It's almost hard to know exactly how to grab hold of it if you don't just start, and do it chronologically or chapter by chapter. There's just so many stories. But we're going to start in Genesis 1 in verse 1. And the truth is, I just want to fully unpack everything that's in that verse to kind of get us started. So, Joe, if you would, read the verse for us, please.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Boy, that's a lot.
That's a lot, right? It is really a lot.
Okay, so tell me, what do you think is in there?
He created the heavens and the earth. That's a big
to-do list.
Big to-do list. Yeah, real big.
Okay, so there is nothing that is created that isn't in that verse. Mm-hmm. Everything is there. Now, it goes on to delineate the actual details of that creation.
Yeah, it's kind of the general wide perspective.
That's right.
And then Moses, who's believed to be the writer of Genesis, narrows it on down several times. It's one of those kind of just keep zooming in.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's very good illustration of it. And so we have this first verse that simply says, God created the heavens and the earth. One of the other things that's in that verse is the assumption of God. Mm-hmm. So Genesis 1 begins not with so let's have God's resume, or where did God come from, or you know that there's a God that exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can prove it. There's none of that. We start with an assumption of God. And the reason we do so is because it's in the DNA of humanity. The assumption of God is literally built into who we are as humans. People have said a long time, Marx tried to say that, you know, religion was the opiate of the people. It's used by individuals in power to keep other individuals down. That's not true, not even remotely, biologically or socially true. The natural state of the human heart is belief. Go anywhere you want to in the world, and you will find people trying to worship something, because inside of us, there is an understanding, just a deep understanding, that there's more than what we see.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else out there beyond us. And so it could be people who are polytheists. They have multiple gods that they worship. They might be a monotheist, where they worship one god. They might be animists, where they are worshiping the different animals and things of nature. Pantheists. There's a million different ways that people have engaged that desire for God, but they all do. So atheism and agnosticism is not a natural state. I want to start with that as a understanding. Atheism and agnosticism is a learned state. It can be a disciplined state. In other words, I can discipline my mind and my choices to reject God.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get there naturally. Mm-hmm. You have to get there by outside influence. So everything that Karl Marx said about religion being the opiate of the people used to drug them is actually the polar opposite. Atheism and agnosticism is a drug that is actually ingested and engaged. You have to choose to swallow that, because the natural state of the human heart is to engage fully into the idea of hope. So St. Augustine said that God has created us with a God-shaped vacuum, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a hole in my heart that nobody else but God can fill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a phenomenal statement. So when Genesis begins, when it starts, it doesn't start with creation. It starts with a statement of God. The statement is God exists. And because God exists, everything else is about to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But if God doesn't exist, nothing follows.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that naturally. We know that biologically. We know that sociologically. We know that emotionally. I mean, I just walked out before we came to the station, and I stepped out of my office and was getting into my car. And if you happen to see the sun was coming up, the clouds are in that rippling effect across the sky, and the sunshine hits just those, you know, lower edges, and it is just incredible. That simple picture which is just clouds above, you know, a gray backdrop of a city, I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
God's good.
Yes, he is.
You can't help but look at that and have that impact you in some way. A child being born used to be called the miracle of childbirth. Why? Because for crying out loud, there's a woman who had something living inside of her that just gave birth to it.
Yes.
And it came, it seems like, from nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's miraculous.
Yes, it is.
The fact that we can give birth to human life. I just saw a video the other day that they're getting better and better at the electron microscope to the point that they have a clear image of atoms. They can take something and you can drill down in that microscope to the point, I think it's 100 million times or something like that, and they get down to the atomic level where they're looking at the atoms that make up all of matter. Holy cow.
That's pretty amazing, yeah.
They can look at the atoms, and because of that, they can then look at the molecules and say, all right, so that's a water molecule, and that's what it looks like. You're looking at it visibly with your naked eye through the microscope. That's a miracle.
Sure it is.
It's incredible. To think that we're designed to that degree and to say, you know, well, I'm sure glad a couple of rocks collided somewhere in the middle of nothing. That's insanity.
You know, look at that and say, God made that.
That's right.
Yeah, God made it.
Absolutely. And so they're now in the concept of nanoscience, looking into things that are in that molecular structure. So as far out as you want to look into the universe and as far in as you want to look into the actual atoms that make us up, all of it starts with one word, and that's God.
That's right.
And we know that, but our society has rejected that. So how is it that you have all this evidence around you and you still don't accept who God is? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about that because it's a choice that we make as humans to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to know that God exists, and we know it at the most basic level. So real quickly, I'm going to read to you from Romans in chapter 1, because the scripture says that God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1. And in Romans 1, it tells us why he did it. So it says in chapter 1, verse 18, it says, God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There you go. When it says God made the heavens and the earth, in doing so, he created a visible, tangible witness of, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a billboard. Do you want to know who I am? Here it is. You want my resume? Here it is. So we're going to take a moment to hear from Pen from the Heart, and when we get back, we'll talk about the ramifications of that.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
Dear Missionary Radio staff, thank you for continued Christian radio programs. I've been listening for 20 years. You continue to bring wonderful encouragement to my life. Thank you, and may God bring blessings to all those at Missionary Radio, a Clarksville listener. From Hopkinsville, God bless me with some unexpected finances, and I have blessed me. Let me try that again. God has blessed me with some unexpected finances, and you have blessed me for years. I pray to continue the wonderful ministry y'all are doing. Also from Clarksville, thank you for all you do. Blessings to our Missionary Radio family.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
This is the Front Porch.
Well, we've been looking into Genesis chapter 1 and just verse 1, and it's such a short little verse, you don't think there's much there. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, we've already unpacked the fact that in that verse, there's an assumption of God, which is a biological and sociological truth. We know the natural state of the human heart is belief. There's a God that's out there. Now, who that God is and everything else, that is delineated. But the truth is, the scripture begins with an assumption of God, and then it says that God created the heavens and the earth. Well, my question is, why? Let's just start with that question. No, don't tell me what it is yet. Tell me why it is. Well, why would God create heavens and earth? Well, the reason he did so literally is to reveal himself to mankind. So when you and I look at this world, we look at the oceans, the sky, or anything else, the intention of it, and he could have created any kind of world he wanted to, by the way, the intention of it is to reveal himself to us. Mm-hmm. So over there in Romans in chapter 1, it says that God has created these things. He says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, like his love, that seems invisible, right? Or his goodness, that seems invisible. His invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse.
The Kentucky paraphrase of that would be, it's as plain as the nose on your face.
That's exactly
there
right.
There you go.
In fact, he gave you a nose so that you would know. That's right. He has designed this in such a fashion that you and I cannot look at it without intentionally choosing agnosticism or atheism. You have to want to do that. And honestly, when I talk with folks who are atheists and agnostics, most often what I find is either A, they've been raised up being taught that there is no God, or they have been raised to a place where they had an experience where they felt disappointed by God.
Yeah.
And in that disappointment, they have now rejected him. So it's not a natural state.
Does it happen sometimes, too, with church hurt?
Yeah, absolutely.
People get church hurt, and they're just like, well,
no question about it.
There's no God, you know, boom.
That's right.
Because of, yeah.
And so when we talk about, hey, you know, somebody is not a believer or they're an agnostic, usually there's one of two options. They either have gone through an education process where they've been told again and again and again, there is no God. Yeah. And they're told, hey, you can't prove God exists, therefore God doesn't exist, and on down the line. That educational process will beat it out of you. There's no doubt about that. But also, if you've been hurt bad enough, then you're going to reject God and say, well, God didn't help me with this, therefore God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because a good God would have done what I needed to have done. So
I think sometimes it could also be a rebellious spirit within us.
Sure.
Saying, God, who are you to tell me what to do?
That's right.
How to live.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. And so when we look at Genesis 1:1, and it's such a tiny little verse, but it has such depth in it because it's taking on some of the most theologically and I'm going to say emotionally important ideas and truths that you'll mm-hmm. ever come across, mm-hmm. which is you exist because God exists.
Sure.
And if you don't get that basic premise, then the rest of everything in life starts to fall apart. And so God created the heavens and the earth. Why? Because he wants to tell you who he is. So when you're looking at a mountain, it's not because, well, this is the way the natural processes work. No, it's because God wanted to say, hey, check it out. This is who I am. Yeah. I want you to see me in this.
Yeah.
I want you to see me in the sky, in the ocean, in the fish, whatever. I want you to see me in the creation that I've made because I love you. Mm-hmm. So I've created something to show you who I am. Now, interestingly, when we say God created the heavens and the earth, that has a much deeper meaning as well. And that is because it's not just the name God that's associated with it.
Sure.
So over in John chapter 1, Joe, would you read for us, beginning there in verse 1, and don't stop till Jesus has made us all.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
There you go. So, how many things were made there, Joe? I missed that part.
All things through him.
So what
through,
number is
through
that?
Through the Word, that would be through Christ.
Through Christ.
Jesus.
So, but I mean, you know, didn't he make like half and God made half?
Well,
or is it 60-40?
John says he made everything. All things that were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made.
Mm. Well, hold up now. It said God made the heavens and the earth, so it's got to be, you know, percentages. You think 90-10 or 75-25? How'd they divvy up the work?
They all did it together as the Trinity.
That's right.
Yes, they did.
That's right.
The fact that I love about John chapter 1 and Genesis 1 and the parallels that John the apostle uses there is he is making God Jesus, and Jesus is God. And so when you read in Genesis 1:1, God made the heavens and the earth, you could also read that as Jesus made the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
So when you stop and think of it in that phrasing, all of a sudden, the Jesus who's going to step into the earth is creating the earth to which he will step.
Mm-hmm.
He is literally creating the trees that will be his crucifix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's creating the rocks that will be the mountain for Golgotha.
Yes.
He is creating the animals that are going to be the leather for the whip,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He's creating all the things that he knows he's going to step into.
Yeah.
And again, why is he doing it? Well, he's doing it in Romans, it's so that we will know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
But in John, it's so that he can come and love us. Save us,
yes.
and connect to us.
Yes.
And so when you and I are reading Genesis 1, we don't see Jesus in it, but he's there. He's fully there. He's so immensely there that you can't separate what God did versus what Jesus did.
Yeah, as you put John with John chapter 1 with Genesis chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
It's the same beginning.
That's right. Absolutely. And we're going to talk in just a minute after Johnny and friends, or Johnny Erickson Tata, we're going to be talking about how those things are held together also. But understanding at its start, the impetus of all things is Jesus.
Yes.
He is at the center of everything that we understand. So when you're looking at the sky and you say, God, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, Jesus, that's lovely,
mm-hmm.
because he created that for you so that you would know him and you would know what he was going to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating to me when you think about like a parent who is preparing a birthday party for a kid, right?
Yeah.
or a father who is setting things up for his daughter as she goes to her first dance. You work all the edges of the circumstances. You work all of the details around which they're going to be walking through. And as a child, you don't understand how much your parents have done to prepare for what you're just walking through and enjoying.
That's right.
This process with God creating the heavens and the earth, that's Him.
Yeah.
That's Jesus.
That's right.
Preparing for that day where I would come to know Him as my Savior. Preparing for the day where I would see His handiwork and then understand His sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So to separate Old Testament from New Testament is unbelievably wrong.
Yeah.
And to separate Jesus and God is unbelievably wrong. Because it takes away from that intimacy that Jesus sought to connect with, and he sought to draw us in through. And so I know that when we read these things in the Old Testament, it's easy for us to just begin to think about God in just the three personages. So Old Testament's God the Father, the Gospels are Jesus the Son, and Acts and all the epistles are going to be the Holy Spirit. That's the way normally folks look at the Scriptures. And they say, well, this is God's time, this is Jesus' time, this is the Holy Spirit's time. That's not accurate at all. Well, everything that God is doing, He does as one.
Yeah.
And so the beauty of that is that literally the Jesus who's coming to save us is working hand in hand with the God who has created us. And the two are just unrecognizable as far as being separated.
Yeah.
The Scripture does not say Jesus did a little of this and God did a little of that.
That's right.
The Scripture says that Jesus did all of it.
That's right.
He did it all because He loves you, and He did it all knowing He would need to die for you. That's hard to fathom.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we get back on the other side of Johnny Erickson Tada, we're going to talk about how Jesus continues to hold this creation together. So let's hear from Ms. Johnny Erickson Tada first, and then we'll jump back in.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope with an amazing story from Johnny about grace.
My friend Corrine Peterson is a delightful Christian with whom I've been traveling for almost 15 years. She's such a great traveling companion and has journeyed with me and my husband when I've spoken in Thailand, India, Malaysia, Ethiopia, England, Germany, El Salvador, Peru, and so many other places. And in all of these years and countless miles, I do not believe I have ever heard her complain. It's why everyone loves Corrine. She has such a Christ-like disposition, and most people are just, well, they're drawn to her. On a recent trip, she told me a most unusual story. She was in a tight spot in a parking lot, and when she tried to back her car out and turn around, she felt a jolt. A car had been in her blind spot, and Corrine had backed into it and hit the bumper. Both drivers immediately got out of their cars, and Corrine could tell right away that this young girl, she was so flustered, all she could do was wring her hands and say over and over, "Oh my goodness, I've never been in a car accident. This has never happened to me." She was so nervous. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Well, Corrine could see that this girl needed help. And so, first, she apologized and said, "Don't worry, calm down. This whole thing was entirely my fault, and I take full responsibility for the accident. So let's walk through this together. First, you get out your iPhone, and I'll get out mine, and each of us just needs to take photos of each other's license and insurance card. And what you'll do next, you'll call your insurance agent, and I'll call mine, and they'll talk to each other. And your agent will probably give you the phone numbers of a few mechanics who will give you an estimate. And then you'll get your car fixed. And then you'll submit the claim. And they'll take care of it for you. It's easy. And my insurance agent will take care of it for me. Everything is going to be just fine." Well, I tell you what, this young woman breathed a sigh of relief. She was so appreciative, nodding the whole time as Corrine walked her through step-by-step instructions. What's amazing about that? Well, the natural reaction might be to do nothing, to just let the other driver be frustrated or nervous and not say a word. But because Corrine made the extra effort as a Christian to ensure this young girl that she would not try to blame her for her own mistake, everyone relaxed. The tension was drained. All because Corrine responded with a godly response. She was not obligated to walk this woman through step 1, 2, 3 on what to do after you're in an accident. But Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And also Proverbs 16, verse 21 says, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Besides, as a Christian, Corrine is held to a higher standard. John Henry Newman once wrote, let us seek the grace of a cheerful heart, an even temper, sweetness and gentleness and brightness of mind, as walking in his light and by his grace. Let us pray to him to give us the spirit of ever abundant, ever springing love, which overpowers and sweeps away the vexations of life by its own richness and strength, and which, above all things, unites us to him who is the fountain and the center of all mercy, loving kindness, and joy.
Listening friend, Corrine and Johnny set powerful examples, and I pray that the next time any of us are placed in such an awkward situation, you know, one that could be pretty explosive, we'll show a little compassion and a lot of love. Because gracious words always promote instruction. And hey, if you need more inspiration, visit us today at johnnyradio.org. Remember, that's johnnyradio.org.
Everyone needs a copy of God's Word, but not all do. Here's Pastor Mark Vaughn of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton.
Listen to this. 1 billion people around the world wants a copy of God's Word, but do not have one. So we collect Bibles any shape they're in. Doesn't matter how bad they are, how torn, they can have pages out of them. They can just be just one page of the Bible. And that'll be more Bible than many folks have. They just have one page. And so we'll take anything that you have that you're not being used.
You can buy Bibles and send them around the world through love packages.
At $2 a copy, that's still very, very cheap. And they come in a case of 40. So for $80, you can buy a case of Bibles. We order them from different places. They'll be shipped directly to love packages. Got a check, Cedar Bluff Baptist Church. And in the memo, please put Bible Drive. And you can mail that to P.O. Box 105, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445.
You can also drop your Bibles by the station, 1100 East 18th Street in Hopkinsville.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
Well, we've been talking about Genesis 1:1, and I want to recap in case you're just joining us, because we've traveled the breadth of Scripture. But in Genesis 1:1, a very, very short verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so the things that we've discovered thus far is that the verse makes the assumption of God's existence. It doesn't try to prove God. It doesn't try to explain God. It simply says, God exists, therefore we exist. The second thing we learned is that God created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. And what was that purpose? Well, we found that over in Romans chapter 1, where it says that God created all the visible things of the world so that we could see his invisible qualities. So God created this entire world literally to say, I love you, hello,
yes.
Here I am.
Yes.
Okay? And then we also dug back into John chapter 1, where we found out that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. All things were made through the Word. Nothing was made that has been made except through him. And so it's not just God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus created the heavens and the earth, and he did so he could step into the earth and have a relationship with us through the grace of his salvation. So there's a whole lot that's happening in that little simple sentence of Genesis 1:1. But there's another piece to it yet to go, and that is that God created the heavens and the earth. But what sustains the heavens and the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an old theory called the watchmaker theory. I don't know. Have you guys ever heard that theory?
Seems like I have.
It's been a while.
Okay. So the watchmaker theory is very simple. It's that the world is a very organized, mechanized process.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the sun turns, we turn. Everything's working like a good piece of machinery.
Like clockwork. Yeah.
And because of that, God has stepped away. In other words, I have a well, it doesn't work because I have a Fitbit. That's all electronic. But if I had an actual watch on, then you wouldn't be looking at the watchmaker. You'd be just looking at the watch. The watchmaker would be thousands of miles away, disconnected.
My watch out here.
There you go. There you go. Now we're keeping an eye on our time. So if I'm looking at that, I have no idea who the watchmaker is.
Timex.
Okay.
He got you on that one.
That was excellent. That was well stated. Excellent. So that means that somebody probably in another country somewhere has been working on that watch, creating that watch, and they're no longer connected to the watch. There's nothing about it that's connected.
Notice that I didn't wear a Rolex today.
That's right. Joe didn't bring his Rolex to work. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken it off. But anyway, the watch is disconnected from the watchmaker, and that's the idea. And the problem with that concept of God is that it disconnects him now from our current life. In other words, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he stepped away. He created all that we see in creation, and then he said, good luck, you know?
I've also heard the part where you look at a watch and you say, well, that watch just didn't come together by accident.
That's right.
On its own.
That's right.
It just didn't appear. Somebody had to design it and put it together.
That is exactly right. And God did. He designed it all to work perfectly. However, he never stepped away. That's the difference, is that the watchmaker can step away because he has no emotional attachment to having to maintain the watch. Okay? Mm-hmm.
He's already gotten his money.
He's already gotten his money. Timex is done. But the God who created the heavens and the earth, Jesus who created the heavens and the earth,
yes,
they never stepped away. They have stayed in constant contact with the world for a purpose, and that is to maintain it. Think about it. What if you had bought that watch, Joe, and that watch came with a watchmaker who just simply, you know, got in the back seat of your car everywhere you went? And so if it started to, you know, run down and it was 5 minutes slow, you'd say, hey, this is not working quite right.
But do you have to feed this guy?
So,
but put a roof over his head.
It would be incredible, though, to have somebody whose whole intention was just to keep the watch moving. That's their goal.
Yeah.
Well, we actually have that in Colossians. Joe, over there in Colossians chapter 1, would you grab verse, let's say, 15 and read down through verse 18, please?
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Perfect. That's the phrase. All things hold together. So, when you and I look at this creation, this beautiful watch, it's not simply that it's running on its own and God has stepped away. The scripture says that Jesus not only stepped into it to provide salvation, but he walks it still as God to maintain it. And it's incredible when you think about the fact that our lives are still dependent on his presence. Now, let me explain that. In our Bible studies that we had on Tuesday at Chick-fil-A and on Wednesday at church, I asked the folks, what's the distance between you and oblivion? And the first question was, what's oblivion?
Yeah, what is oblivion?
Non-existence.
Okay.
To no longer exist. What's the distance between you and oblivion? And we think about, you know, nuclear bombs and other things like that that could happen. No. Just natural. Just naturally, what's the distance between you and no longer your existence here on this earth? Well, it's actually the blink of an eye.
That's right.
In the wonderful universe, there are things called asteroids. And we occasionally have a small thing hit Earth here and there. And in fact, I just read that there's a big old one that has like a 1% chance of hitting Earth that's kind of zipping around out there in the solar system. But do you realize that we would have had been pummeled to death a long time ago
Oh, yeah.
if God had not actually placed us in the solar system exactly where we are and placed Jupiter where it is. Mm-hmm. So Jupiter has all these rings, right?
Yeah.
And as you look out in those rings, you see all this debris. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason is because Jupiter is a lot bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. And as a bigger planet, it has a greater gravitational pull. So think about Jupiter as the asteroid Hoover of our solar system.
It just sucks up all the...
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's pulling those things into it, mm-hmm. so they're not being pulled into us.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. God put a big old Hoover in the solar system.
Yes.
So all the debris in the solar system would get cleaned up before it came to see us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you want to know how close we are to oblivion? Take Jupiter out, and you and I don't ever exist.
That's right.
We're gone.
We're gone.
If you want to move us just a hair closer to the sun or a hair further from the sun, mm-hmm. you and I don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live anymore because of that.
Yeah, we either heat up, talk about global warming,
that's right.
if we move closer to the sun.
That's it.
Or if we move further away, we freeze.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. TV dinners have two places that they work well, okay? They're either frozen, that's no good,
yeah.
or they've been nuked just a hair too long, and then they're a brick of nothing but molten lead, okay?
TV dinners have a moment
where you can engage them, and that's our Earth. We're sitting in that sweet spot mm-hmm. of the solar system. Mm-hmm. That's miraculous.
Yes, it is.
Move us just a hair's breadth one way or the other, and all of a sudden, we're in trouble. You change the spinning of our Earth. All of a sudden, the gravitational pull changes. We have just enough gravity to stay on this Earth,
mm-hmm.
but not enough gravity to crush us into the Earth.
Yeah,
that's really important.
Yeah.
You want your gravity to be just right.
Just right.
So when you and I look in the Scripture and it says, all things were made by Him and all things are held together by Him, Christ is continuing. God is continuing. The Lord continues to keep the watch spinning, to keep the watch working. He never steps away. He always is right there beside us. He made it so we would know Him. He created it so He could step into it for us. And He maintains it so that we can live and enjoy Him as we walk these days. This world's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is.
But the truth is, it's a beautiful poem that's been written by God for us. It's maintained for us. And it's just simply a statement of His love to our hearts. So I want everybody today who's listening to the program, as you go out and you see whatever it is you see, whether it's a person at Walmart or the sky above you, or the woods around you, if you look over the farm fields that are near you, don't just see the creation. See the God who's painting that creation for you literally moment by moment and day by day. It's a beautiful day to wake up and see God around
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.